It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Supreme Court on Tuesday ruled that the state of Maine cannot exclude schools who provide religious instruction from a taxpayer-funded state tuition and program because it violates the First Amendment. The court voted 6-3 along ideological lines with a conservative majority, siding with two families who sued the state for religious discrimination. Under Maine's program, families who live in rural areas without public high schools can receive tuition assistance at private schools or go to public schools in other communities, as long as those schools are non-sectarian or explicitly provide religious instruction. The court found that excluding private schools based solely on such criteria violated the constitutional requirement of religious neutrality. Chief Justice John Roberts, who has been a longtime proponent of taxpayer funding for religious schools, wrote the opinion. The three more liberal members of the court dissented, with Justice Sotomayor offering the line of the day. In her dissent, she wrote, quote, "What a difference 5 years makes. In 2017, I feared that the court was leading us to a place where separation of church and state is a constitutional slogan, not a constitutional commitment." And then she added, "Today, the court leads us to a place where separation of church and state becomes a constitutional violation." I'll just leave that right there. The court still has some 13 cases to hand down decisions on. The next day, they'll be releasing some Thursday. Yeah, the same day as the next hearing from the House Select Committee investigating the events surrounding January 6th. On Tuesday, the Select Committee held its fourth public hearing, and it was devastating. Officials from Arizona and Georgia testified before the committee about how then-President Trump and his allies pressured them to help overturn President Biden's 2020 electoral victory. Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel said in a pre-recorded testimony that Trump had called her and asked her to help in the effort and put conservative lawyer John Eastman on the phone to tell her it was important for the RNC to help the campaign gather contingent electors to replace the legal ones. Four state officials from Georgia and Arizona who rebuffed the Trump team's pressure campaign testified yesterday that they received death threats after Trump's supporters accused them of fraud. Perhaps the most emotional testimony yesterday came at the end of the hearing when two women, Shay Moss and her mother, Lady Ruby Friedman, who were poll workers in Fulton County, Georgia, told their story. How they were scapegoated by Giuliani and Trump, actions that subsequently destroyed their lives.
Do you know how it feels to have the President of the United States to target you? The President of the United States is supposed to represent every American, not to target one. But he targeted me, Lady Ruby, a small business owner, a mother, a proud American citizen who stand up to help Fulton County run an election in the middle of the pandemic.
Just absolutely shameful and sickening. Well, it is primary season, and people went to the polls on Tuesday in D.C. and Virginia, and runoffs were held in Alabama, Arkansas, and Georgia. Let's start with Georgia, where two Trump-endorsed Republican House candidates both lost their respective primary runoffs. Aw, isn't that too bad? And in Alabama, it was the opposite, where Mo Brooks, who Trump unendorsed, went down to defeat at the hands of the new candidate that Trump did endorse. Following along, and in Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser won her Democratic primary and is now poised to win a third term. And by the way, the recount in Texas has concluded, and incumbent Blue Dog Henry Cuellar retained his seat, although challenger Jessica Cisneros came as close as one can get. In the recount, she came up about 200 votes short. She would have been so good in there. Well, the Senate on Tuesday cast a key vote to advance the newly released bipartisan gun safety legislation. It is a major step moving the bill forward, as lawmakers face pressure to do something in the face of our gun epidemic. The bill still has a few hurdles to clear. In the Senate, it'll face two more major votes, first to break a filibuster and then on to final passage. The vote to break the filibuster will be a critical, high-stakes moment for the legislation since it will require 60 votes to advance, which means that at least 10 Republicans will need to join all the Democrats in support. But that's what happened last night. The bipartisan group resolved a number of outstanding issues in the last few days, including a disagreement over the boyfriend loophole. Under the updated law, those convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence against an intimate partner would be prevented from purchasing firearms for at least 5 years. The reforms also increase resources for mental health, incentivize red flag laws, and more. They're still working towards holding a final Senate vote by the end of the week, ahead of the July 4th two-week recess. Because of course they're going on another two-week recess, don't you know? They've got to prepare to take off the entire month of August to campaign. Come on.
Come on, man.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.